Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I think we've got a good show lined up for you this evening. It's a minute past the hour of 6 p.m. here in the Eastern Time Zone in the beautiful and magnificent, breathtaking hills and hollers of what yet remains of West Pycod, Virginia. I'm Bob, and I'm awfully glad to have you along. It is, of course, Wednesday. It's downhill to Friday. But as you all know, it's something far more than that. Something more than the midweek. Something more than a way station on the way to putting another work week in the can, so to speak. It is, in fact, that's right, prayer meeting Wednesday right here, brethren and sistren. Choir master, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches.
Sing it!
Thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. Gaudi est omnis tu visa in partes tres. When not affiliated with the show or suit of the truth or much of the person to the root. Glory! Hallelujah! This is prayer meeting. Come on down the blood-red carpet and step before the altar and put your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of rational thought flowing through you here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Arch-Elder Prophet Bob Kincaid. Ha! Glory! It is prayer meeting night, and let's start up with some, spot-on prayer meeting stuff. Hey, did you know that while we were all out there, and I'm one of them, we have, and Mark Levine is another, we have shown a light from time to time
on the really, really creepy, shady dealings of Reverend Moon's Unification Church. We've pointed out on this program and on Mark's bizarre things, like the fact that Reverend Moon held a coronating ceremony on government property where members of Congress declared him King of the Universe. We've talked about their weird little marriage cleansing ceremony. Mark Levine has had a fellow on his program who has talked about the fact that the Moonies have declared that George Washington was a Moonie. Yep. Mm-hmm. Not kidding. All of those things. And all the time that we've been doing that, we have been ignoring something, another organization, that is every bit as creepy, every bit as disturbing, every bit as engaged in pure, unmitigated nastiness as the Moonies could ever hope to be, and have as much of a hold on their so-called followers as the Moonies could ever hope to. Who am I talking about, brothers and sisters? Well, brothers and sisters, I am talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And, you know, I'm by virtue of being at least minimally involved in the broadcast medium, granted I am not by any stretch of the imagination one of those multimillionaire right-wing blowhards, I'm a very low-rent liberal blowhard, bringing you a three-hour audio dump every evening that's good for me, and I hope good for you. But broadcasting fascinates me. And we have talked at considerable length in past programs about where exactly our country is headed with the people's airwaves being thoroughly dominated and controlled by a small handful of media corporations. We talk about NBC being owned by GE. We talk about ABC being owned by Disney. We talk about Fox being owned by Fox, Rupert Murdoch. We talk about all of these organizations. And what damage they do by virtue of their almost monopolistic stranglehold on the public airwaves. Well, let's add one more group to that list. Let's add the Mormon Church. Now, the Mormon Church is supposed to be a not-for-profit entity. And yet, through legal wrangling and finagling, they control a for-profit empire worth something on the order of $11 billion. No, really. What do they own? Well, among other things, they own the largest cattle ranch in the country. Many people think that the number one cattle ranch in the United States is the King Ranch in Texas. Wrong. It's the Deseret Cattle and Citrus Ranch outside of Orlando, Florida. They control own 312,000 acres outside Orlando with a real estate value that is estimated somewhere in the rough ballpark of $858 million. You know, if you ask a doctor will tell you that roughage is good for you, that you want to get fiber into your diet. And some will tell you that, you know, if you've got to have a snack, you're far better off rather than reaching for the bag of potato chips or a candy bar. Well, snack on some nuts. The largest producer of nuts in the United States is called Ag Reserves, Inc. It's located in Salt Lake City. It's owned by the Mormons. But their jewel, the jewel of this $11 billion empire, is a little outfit called Bonneville International. Bonneville International. Now, bear in mind, I'm not talking here about, some woman who owns a florist shop in Texas who happens to be a Mormon. No. These things that I've just mentioned to you are all owned and controlled directly by the Mormon Church, a nonprofit entity engaged in filthy lucre at levels that you and I, most of us, cannot comprehend. Bonneville International. You know, I never thought I would find myself saying that I had some degree of respect for the likes of Pat Robertson or the Crouches over at TBN. But now I find myself in the really, really odd and icky position of having to say that. Because they are at least what they are. Now, granted, Pat Robertson goes out and hustles some Sea of Galilee mud mask every now and then. Pat Robertson goes out and hustles nutrition shakes that allow him to leg press 700 pounds. And, yeah, he's been involved in diamond mines and, Barrick Gold Strike Limited. He's been involved in some sleazy crap. But somehow or another, we managed to find out about it. Meanwhile, all that time that we've spent looking at the fundies, justifiably, the Mormons have cruised along under the radar, quietly going about the business of trying to set up a world that they wholly own and control. Ooh, Bob's persecuting the Mormons. Oh, we've been persecuted all our days. The only reason they were ever persecuted is because everywhere they went, they tried to take over the government and force other people to believe as they do. Emphasis on the word believe. You might remember Tabasco Dog from the chat room. I got an email from Tabasco Dog the other day. If you want to get a really good idea of how the Mormon Church came into being, I know this is going to sound a little loopy, but it's true. Get on the Google or whatever it is you search with and look for South Park, episode 712. It's a beautiful little compendium of factual statements about the founding of Mormonism by a guy who already had a rap sheet for running gold striking cons in upstate New York, the Palmyra area to be precise. But this is the one that's most striking and offensive. Bonneville International, owned outright by the Mormon Church. Now they're not geeky. It's not a whole bunch of stations playing Mormon stuff. Oh, I love to drink my glass of milk and ride my bicycle every day. You know that kind. No. This is mainstream broadcasting, for-profit broadcasting, public airwaves broadcasting. I've got a list here of what Bonneville Broadcasting owns, Bonneville International, In Los Angeles, they own KSWD 100.3 FM, The Sound. How about Chicago? In Chicago, they own WDRV 97.1 FM and WWDV 96.9 FM. They own Love FM, WILV 100.3 FM, Feel Good Favorites. They also own The Mix, WTMX 101.9 FM. Hey, Mark Levine, you ever go around the radio dial there in the D.C. area and tune in WTOP 103.5 FM or 103.9 FM or 1050 AM? If you have, you've been listening to radio stations that are intimately associated with a religion that is actively involved in taking away the rights of American citizens. We've got a bunch of listeners in the Great Northwest. You ever tune in The Truth, KTTH 770 AM? Probably not. They run The Savage Wiener, The Falafel Boy, Glenn Beck, Mormon, and Flush Flimball. But maybe at some point going across the dial, you've hit the 710 AM bandwidth, and you've heard KIRO. KIRO is also owned by Bonneville, and therefore owned by the Mormons. KIRO 97.3 FM is a Mormon property as well. How about y'all down in Phoenix? You ever tune in KPKX 98.7 FM or News Talk 92.3 KTAR or Sports 620? Mormons. In St. Louis, it's the Arch, WARH 106.5 FM, WIL 92.3 FM, Moving 101, WMVN 101.1 FM, iChannel. In Cincinnati, it ain't WKRP. It's Q102, WKRQ 101.9. You're listening to The Sound, WSWD 94.9 FM. Hey, y'all, you're listening to B105 Country, WUBE 105.1 FM. Yeehaw! Dude, this is the Wolf, WYGY 97.3. Then you get home to Salt Lake City there, the little New Jerusalem or whatever. And you get KRSP, the Arrow, 103.5 FM. FM 100, KSFI, 100.3 FM. KUTR, 820 AM. KSL, News Radio, KSL 102.7, News Radio Time, FM. And 1160 AM is 619 PM. Okay, no, but that's a mountain. So it's 419 PM. Big pileup out on the Brigham Young Expressway. And then just to cover their bases, they also own KSL TV Channel 5 in Salt Lake City. How many people do you suspect know that? Why do you suspect they have to call it Bonneville Broadcasting? I suspect it's because if they called it Bunch of Mormons with Microphones, most people wouldn't listen because most people understand that, loopy. And it's not just me, and I'm not persecuting them. I'm not giving them any more hell than I've given the Southern Baptist Church or the Roman Catholic. Only these people are worse. They're actually further down the road in trying to destroy our constitutional form of government, our republic based on principles of democratic representation, than any of the other cults or belief systems are. Because they've taken our very public institutions, the public airwaves, and turned them against us in order to enrich themselves. Well, Bob, what do you mean enrich themselves? I mean, they just believe what they believe. Well, yeah, just leave them alone, Bob. Dateline New York City, a story by the Associated Press. Holocaust survivors said Monday they're through trying to negotiate with the Mormon Church over posthumous baptisms of Jews killed in Nazi concentration camps, saying the church has repeatedly violated a 13-year-old agreement barring the practice. You know, when you get right down to it, that's a kind of spiritual necrophilia, isn't it? This church admits that it does posthumous baptism by proxy. Do you realize that not that it matters after you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. But do you realize that if your name is searchable in any way, that, and I'm not kidding, this is for real. There's a big-ass baptismal font in the main temple in Salt Lake City, and they've got a proxy there who gets dunked. I baptize you a Mormon, and blah, you know. You're not safe. Their goal is to baptize everybody a Mormon after they're dead. That's why they maintain that weird-ass genealogical database. Really? How? And I'm not trying to sound like a valley girl or anything, but how sick is that? Woo! In 1995, Mormons and Jews inked agreements to limit the circumstances that allow for the proxy baptisms of Holocaust victims. The Mormons refused, however, to end the practice outright. Church elder Lance B. Wickman said, "We don't think any faith group has the right to ask another to change its doctrines. If our work for the dead is properly understood, it should not be a source of friction to anyone. It's merely a free will offering." Yeah, turning dead Jews into weirdo cult members after they're gone. It's a goodwill offering. Jesus. You're not safe. None of you. There's only one thing on planet Earth that every human being who has ever inhabited it, shares in common, and that is that every human being dies. And you are not even safe in your own death from the religious weirdos of the Mormon Church. Yes, yes, yes. First Amendment, absolutely. Right to believe as you see fit. And you know what? This is not persecution. Nobody's telling them they can't do it. But they can't do it to people who are... They can't make people involuntary, or even corpses' names. They can't make them involuntary members of their cult. Damn them! Jews. 6 million of them. Gassed. Machine gunned. Having had their dental work ripped out of their heads by the Nazis before they were slaughtered. 7 separated from their children. Ripped from their communities. Their assets and their heritages destroyed. And to have these freaks who follow an admitted fraud, Joseph Smith, he admitted it. You know, he admitted it. He made it all up. But to have these people turn around and do that, it's not, and again, it's not just Jews. It's Roman Catholics, it's Southern Baptists, it's anybody that they catch on their stupid little genealogy list, they'll do a proxy dunking for you. And then, because they believe that you have a corporeal body in the afterlife off there, out there, on planet Xenon or whatever. No, Xenu, that's the Scientologist. Oh, God, if they ever get together, we're screwed. Yeah, you're right. That's a very interesting means of Holocaust denial. But then again, this is a church which until the mid to late 1970s did not even acknowledge that people with dark skins were fully human. Yeah, Planet Kolob. Yes. Thank you. Because, see, they've got celestial wedding ceremonies, too. Oh, they might not practice, but they say they don't practice polygamy here on Earth anymore. But they do in their weirdo little afterlife. They do celestial sealing, not sealing like above of your head, S-E-A-L-I-N-G, celestial sealing ceremonies. These sick, twisted freaks. Where they create these polyandrous and polygamous celestial marriages, and not one of you listening to my voice upon death are safe from it. Are you a devout Jew? You can't be sure that you're going to be that after you die. Are you a devout Roman Catholic? Russian, Greek, Armenian, Orthodox? Not after the Mormons get hold of you. These people don't even respect the sanctity of the grave. They are spiritual necrophiliacs. And they've got a little closet problem of their own because they've got their sacraments are called ordinances. How charming for a little cult religion rising up in early 19th century America to use a word like ordinance. You know, weapons. Not sacraments. Sacrament meaning something holy. Ordinances meaning weapons. They've got an ordinance called the Ordinance of Adoption, where men are sealed to other men. Whoopsie! Maybe that's why they had such a hissy about same-sex marriage. Because they're already doing it, and they want to protect their monopoly. This kind of stuff just drives me batty. what would you do if you found, honest to God, my grandmother, for instance, was one of the most pious people I ever knew, was privileged to be around, helped raised by. And she straddled the line between Methodist and Baptist. On one Sunday, she'd teach Sunday school with the Methodists, and the following Sunday, she'd go teach Sunday school with the Baptists. And she was, of a sort, a scholar, because she approached Sunday school with the same vigor and determination that she approached the teaching of regular school, which she did for 60 years in this county. And I, honest to God, don't know what I would do if I was to check, find some list where some damn Mormon had baptized her after death. Or Lord knows what I would do if I found that they had done that to my mother or my father. I don't think I'd be accountable for my actions. Now, I'm completely rational about death, mind you. It's the one thing all human beings have done. It is the one thing that all human beings have not come back from. There ain't no second act. There is no, this is not dress rehearsal. This is the one shot. Now, some faiths say that you loop back through on a reincarnation until you get all your stuff worked out. Not going to fight with them over it. Nobody knows. These are all articles of faith. What I believe. I don't believe in celestial cities paved with streets of gold that are the manifestations of fantasies of cultures that lived in dust and dirt and grime and filth, whose greatest fantasy was to be able to live in a place that wasn't that way. Don't go in for that. Now, I also don't buy into 72 virgins or Virginians. Nope. Sorry. I don't buy into much of any of it. I don't know that anything happens when you die other than you're done. I suspect that there is some enervating energy within us all that goes back into the hopper. And maybe energy knows energy or is attracted to energy. I don't know. I don't know any of it. But it's nothing fit to be scared of. But this is a violation of those who have already gone. This is a violation of those they leave behind. Because there are relatives, sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, aunts, uncles, nephews, nieces, cousins of the people who died in what, in their language, they refer to as the Shoah, the Holocaust. And this is an assault on them. Oh, the weirdness just goes on and on and on. But this is... this is vile. This is sick and twisted. Ernest Michel, honorary chairman of the American Gathering of Holocaust Survivors, said it's not enough that the Mormons say that they're going to make changes to their genealogical database that will make it more difficult for names of Holocaust victims to be entered for posthumous baptism by proxy. Language! Posthumous baptism by proxy? That's just taking metaphysics and physics and physiology and language all out behind the barn and just tire ironing the lot of them. Ernest Michel, honorary chairman of the American Gathering of Holocaust Survivors, said that's not enough. This past Monday at a news conference, he said that the Mormons also must implement a mechanism to undo what you have done. Baptism of a Jewish Holocaust victim and then merely removing that name from the database is just not acceptable. His parents died at Auschwitz, and he spoke out on an occasion that we marked here as well. The 70th anniversary of Kristallnacht. And the Mormons say no. Michel said, "We ask you to respect us and our Judaism, just as we respect your religion. We ask you to leave our 6 million Jews, all victims of the Holocaust, alone. They suffered enough." To which the Mormons said, "We don't think any faith group has the right to ask another to change its doctrines." Bastards. They control your airwaves. They'll baptize you when you're dead. And they'll come up on your porch and tell you about how Jesus appeared to the Indians, and the Indians are all secret Jews. See, they got the Mormons have this Jew fascination. And now there's one of the you gotta. You gotta actually read some of this stupid book of theirs. It's obviously made up. I'll show you. Hold on a minute. And I promise I'm gonna come to the phones, okay? Just hang tight. This is just stunning to behold. It'll take me a minute here. Mark Twain wrote about the Mormons. And he notes, because he was a very, very smart man, in chapter 16 of Roughing It, he said, "All men have heard of the Mormon Bible, but few, except the elect, have seen it, or at least taken the trouble to read it. I brought away a copy from Salt Lake. The book is a curiosity to me. It is such a pretentious affair, and yet so slow, so sleepy, such an insipid mess of inspiration. It is chloroform in print. If Joseph Smith composed this book, the act was a miracle. Keeping awake while he did it was, at any rate. If he, according to tradition, merely translated it from certain ancient and mysteriously engraved plates of copper, which he declares he found under a stone in an out-of-the-way locality, the work of translating was equally a miracle for the same reason. The book seems to be merely a prosy detail of imaginary history with the Old Testament for a model, followed by a tedious plagiarism of the New Testament. The author labored to give his words and phrases the quaint old-fashioned sound and structure of our King James translation of the Scriptures, and the result is a mongrel, half modern glibness and half ancient simplicity and gravity. The latter is awkward and constrained, the former natural but grotesque by the contrast. Whenever he found his speech growing too modern, which was about every sentence or two, he ladled in a few scriptural phrases as exceeding sore and it came to pass, and so on, made things satisfactory again. And it came to pass was his pet. If he had left that out, his Bible would have been only a pamphlet. Then he goes on to quote several chunks of the preface and prologue. There these things for the testimony of three witnesses, the testimony of eight witnesses. He said, some people have to have a world of evidence before they can come anywhere in the neighborhood of believing anything. But for me, when a man tells me that he has seen the engravings which are upon the plates, and not only that, but an angel was there at the time and saw him see them and probably took his receipt for it, I'm very far on the road to conviction, no matter whether I ever heard of that man before or not, and even if I do not know the name of the angel or his nationality either. Then there's the testimony of the eight witnesses, and Twain says, and when I am far on the road to conviction, and eight men, be they grammatical or otherwise, because these eight men are Christian Whitmer, Jacob Whitmer, Peter Whitmer Jr., John Whitmer, Hiram Page, Joseph Smith Sr., Hiram Smith, and Samuel H. Smith, and when I am far on the road to conviction, and eight men, be they grammatical or otherwise, come forward and tell me that they have seen the plates too, and not only seen those plates, but hefted them, I am convinced. I could not feel more satisfied and at rest if the entire Whitmer family had testified. The Mormon Bible consists of 15 books, being the books of Jacob, Enos, Jerom, Omni, Mosiah, Zenith, Alma, Helaman, Ether, Morani, two books of Mormon, and three of Nephi. Me, I always favored the grape Nephi, although on hot summer days I'm kind of fond of the peach Nephi, too. In the first book of Nephi is a plagiarism of the Old Testament, which gives an account of the exodus of Jerusalem, the children of Lehi. It goes on to tell of their wanderings in the wilderness during 8 years and their supernatural protection by one of their number, a party by the name of Nephi. They finally reached the land of Bountiful and camped by the sea. After they'd remained there for the space of many days, which is more scriptural than definite, Nephi was commanded from on high to build a ship wherein to carry the people across the waters. He travestied Noah's Ark, but he obeyed orders in the matter of the plan. He finished the ship in a single day, while his brethren stood by and made fun of it, and of him too, saying, "Our brother is a fool, for he thinketh that he can build a ship." They did not wait for the timbers to dry, but the whole tribe or nation sailed the next day. Then a bit of genuine nature cropped out, and it is revealed by the outspoken Nephi with scriptural frankness. They all got on a spree. They, and also their wives, began to make themselves merry, insomuch that they began to dance, and to sing, and to speak with much rudeness. Yea, they were lifted up into exceeding rudeness. Nephi tried to stop these scandalous proceedings, but they tied him neck and heels and went on with their lark. But observe how Nephi the prophet circumvented them by the aid of the invisible powers. And it came to pass that after they had bound me, insomuch that I could not move, the compass, a compass in something like 800 B.C., a compass? Needle, circle, magnetic north, compass? They had a compass? Okie dokie. That which had been prepared of the Lord did cease to work. It was the only compass. Wherefore they knew not whither they should steer the ship, inasmuch as there arose a great storm, yea, a great and terrible tempest, and we were driven back upon the waters for the space of 3 days. And they began to be frightened exceedingly, lest they should be drowned in the sea. Not that they were, well, you know, you got the sea around you, and if you're going to be drowned in anything when you're in a boat, it's probably going to be the sea. Or some form of water now, don't you think? That's not Twain, that's me. Lest they should be drowned in the sea. Nevertheless, they did not loose me. And on the fourth day, which we had been driven back, the tempest began to be exceeding sore. And it came to pass that we were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. Well, then they untied him. And it came to pass after they had loosed me, behold, I took the compass, and it did work whither I desired it. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord, and after I prayed, the winds did cease, and the storm did cease, and there was a great calm. Twain notes, equipped with their compass, these ancients appear to have had the advantage of Noah. Their voyage was toward a promised land, only name they gave it, and they reached it in safety. He goes on and does a beautiful job of just blistering this phony baloney piece of garbage text. I mean, if you go and look at it, there's even, he doesn't even have his Elizabethan English verb tenses correct. One time it's have, and another time it's hast, another time it's hath. But all those things sort of didn't exist independently of one another. He was kind of cheating. Or maybe he was just a low-rent fraud as opposed to a high-quality one. And then there's the whole story about how they gather together the tribes. And that's a lulu, too. Because there's a tribe, apparently. Now you've got Lehi and Nephi and Ether. No, really, Ether. And then you've got the tribe of Ishmael. What did I tell you? What did I tell you a few nights ago? That actually Mormonism is as much a ripoff of Islam as it is of any form of Christianity? Hello! He's got them getting together with the tribe. Yeah. Of Ishmael. And these are the people who own your airwaves. These are the people that you give profit to when you go and eat a handful of nuts. These are the people who own the largest single cattle farm in this country. And Lord, what else don't they own? Grocery stores, banks. I mean, you know. Yeah, okay, Albert. Funny. God told me to tell you to stop reading that crap. Oh, and I was on... My phone is being Mormon at the moment, so I had to hang up, and now the line's busy. Dadgummit. Sorry about that. Well, we'll get through, because everybody's lit up, and let's see what's happening over here. I have a creepy feeling that maybe the phones are messed up, but we're going to find out. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Uh-oh, this is not a good sign. Okay, that's at least a busy signal. So's that. They all are. Hold on a minute. I'm a little paranoid here. Okay. Yeah, that's a dial tone. So everything works now. Everything lit up there for a few minutes, and then everybody went away. So I thought that was an appropriate starting place for... an appropriate starting place for this evening. I don't think that people understand the half, the tenth of the control that outfit owns over American society. Running around baptizing murdered Jews. For all you know, baptizing your sainted old granny, or mine. Yeah, and Cindy's right. Harry Reid is a Mormon. She says, you know, they owe allegiance to their church before their state. I think that's one of the things that makes him unfit for his position as Senate Majority Leader. Oh, but see, we're persecuting him if we say that. Personally, I think being nuts makes someone unfit for that or any other position in the government. But then again, I'm a hard ass, right? Yeah. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
You un-moronied your phone?
Yeah, I put the magic underwear on it and laid some oil on its Retheus, and I don't even know how the hell that was going on.
Did you seal it to some telephone in heaven?
Well, it was a golden phone, but then the angel came and took it from me because of something, and they didn't want you to see it, and that's what it was.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You got to believe me. You got to believe me.
Well, I do. I do. I have to.
I got a receipt. I got a receipt. Written by my own hand, inspired by the divine word.
Bingo.
You know, these people are so batshit crazy, I don't even want to take vitamins anymore. Realize that, like, 60% of the nature of...
Oh, no, not the vitamins, too. Uh-oh. See, look what happens. We're trying to talk about that. For all I know, they're running... Jeez. Just lost Albert. Goodness gracious. But that's... This is the gang, this is the group that says that with all these weird-ass beliefs, of which I'm perfectly willing to be tolerant, I mean, they can believe that they can believe that the sun rises in the west and sets in the east. It's utterly irrational and contrary to any sort of actual knowledge, but they're free to believe it. But they are not free to take the tax-exempt status that this secular state grants them and abuse it by going out there and using a profit-making mechanism to advance what they're doing. Oh, Albert, this may be a sign from Moron. Are you as disturbed by this as I am? Now, these people are real big with their persecution complex. They got a persecution complex about, 100 miles wide. Yeah, that goofy-ass book, it actually says that Adam and Eve lived somewhere in Missouri. Jackson County, Missouri, I think. Huh? And that, of course, there really was an. But you know what's really fun? If you study at it hard enough, you will find that what a couple of interesting pieces of information. At the time that Joseph Smith was making all this garbage up, there was a book in the library in Palmyra, New York, and it was the spiritual writings of Emanuel Swedenborg. And there's a whole bunch of Mormonism that is straight out of Swedenborg. You can check it out. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Okay, I think the phone problems are probably on my end, but we'll try this one more time. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? All right, obviously we have, Houston, we have a problem. And like I said, I think it is on our end. We'll try this one more time. Hi, welcome to the program. Now, see, this is the phones going sideways on my end again. If you're listening, please just hold off for a few minutes. It's about 7 minutes before the hour. For all I know, my internet connection just got baptized by the Mormons. So we'll take a few minutes. I'm just gonna pop down and reboot the computer. And we'll get it all squared around. So stand by, please. We'll be right back. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, wasn't that just annoying?
Yeah, I think this unit's going to be replaced. We've tried and tried to make sure that it wasn't anything else. But, yeah, this unit taking the phone down and stuff here, it's got to end. Got to get a new one. Oh, joy. But we're dealing with it as best we can. So, you know, just what we talked about in the first hour, just try to keep that in the back of your mind. Try to be conscious of it. Pay attention to the fact that, yes, as we've argued on so many occasions, your everyday choices, even as a consumer, have real moral consequences. If you believe it was wrong what was done in California with Proposition 8, then, for God's sakes, don't give any of these sick, twisted broadcast outlets or businesses your business. If you want to know where this came from, it's from the this article came from the Pensito Review, Pensitoreview, pensitoreview.com. And the title of the piece, if you just search for it once you get there, is Mormon Church Owns Mainstream Radio Stations in 8 Top Markets. And that's by John Ponder. And this is a darn fine article. So, you know, just be cognizant. These are the people, you know, they didn't deny rights. They took rights away from people whose rights were already established as a matter of law in the state of California. And they took them away. Wow. And these people think they have a right not to be criticized for it? They're spitting in the face of we the people with their rampant violations of the tax code. You know, I remember the late, great Sam Kennison had a line where he said that, you know, eventually Jerry Falwell would get up to the pearly gates and Jesus would look at him and say, "Where did I say to build a water slide?" Well, the same thing applies here. Where does it say anywhere in the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned, by the way, given his, it's worth remembering that given his skin color, Yeshua wouldn't have been deemed fully human by the Mormon Church until they grudgingly acquiesced in the 1970s. Where in any of the Gospels does it say to own a broadcasting empire or a nut empire or a cattle ranch valued at some $800 million? Last I checked, there's something in there about the giving away everything you own and follow me. Actually, give it to the poor and follow me. But I guess I'm just crazy. I've got all of heaven's riches. You know the other line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Let's hope the angel Moriani or whatever his name is.
The angel moron? Hey, okay, yeah. I'm going to go find me Joseph Smith. I'm in the angel moron.
My goodness gracious. What was the last thing you heard? I don't even know.
Just a noise. We were talking about whether or not your phone was sealed to a phone in heaven and then gone.
Oh, it was. Oh, I was talking about sacrifice and this and that and how the Mormons make me not want to take vitamins. Did I tell you that?
There we go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, the vitamins. And you know, I don't understand how they can ever imagine that. Wait, They're the ones that pushed this yes on aid, right?
Oh, yeah, right? Shoved it. Didn't push it, shoved it.
Yeah, this is their torpedo right into the election. Maybe just boycott everything that comes out of Utah. Because for sitting there...
Except maybe Rocky Anderson.
You just made an excellent point about how Jesus, you know, the darker skin, you know, probably more historical, accurate version of Jesus, he wouldn't have been considered a human by these people. You know, and I'll tell you, anybody who's lived up in Idaho or in that area, you know, can tell you some doozies that you'll hear in regards to Mormon culture and everything else like that. And I don't want to sit here and rag on them, but you know, as far as I know, you know, besides 125,000 people being limited to their little heavens nonsense and, you know, blacks couldn't ever be, and all the, I know a bunch of people that have been excommunicated for, I don't even know, not wearing the magic underwear, and
I know.
You know, for them to sit here and intrude in a state like California that, you know, and to sit there and twist the book into the true believers, these people that are true believers, to sit there and twist this word to make people that they literally didn't even, you know, acknowledge as human beings, and to make them, in a sense, come out and vote against equal rights. This is such a scrambled eggs of disgust.
I know. Don't you just want to look at the devout Roman Catholics who also voted no or yes on 8 in California and say, "Hey, guys, those creepy people you were in bed with, quick as you're dead, they're going to baptize you, and you're not going to be Catholic anymore." Because see, each side believes the other's going to hell.
This is so silly.
I mean, this is right up there with the, well, you know, when we go in the rapture, do we go naked or do we go with clothing on? And whichever way they answer, heretic!
Oh, they're so silly. Oh, my goodness. You know, you really can see it now more than ever. I mean, it's always been there, but, you know, it's just getting so ridiculous, this stuff. It really is. You know, if I was of a religious denomination, I would be supremely embarrassed. I just would be. I would just be like, I cannot believe that I've been hanging out with this group of people. These guys are crazy. I mean, they're
well,
mad.
You know, they're not just that. I got a, just got a note in from David in Tennessee saying, please remember, once Joseph Smith was driven out of New York for his crimes, at each and every stop on their way to Utah, there was armed conflict set in motion by the Mormons. They would settle, and 8 to 10 years later, open warfare. Whites and Native Americans alike were victims of Mormon attacks. Short version, they ain't simply funning in the head, they're killers at heart. You know, there was one noteworthy battle in Utah, I think, Albert, where the Mormons got the Indians to slaughter another group of settlers, and then turned around and slaughtered the Indians. Or maybe they got the settlers to slaughter the Indians, and then they slaughtered the settlers. I mean, there was a thing called the Mormon War, for heaven's sakes, in which federal troops were in Utah for something like, 15, 16 months because of horrific crimes committed by the Mormons out there. They negotiated a settlement, and everybody said, okay, Mormons didn't do anything wrong, full pardon. Mm-hmm.
You can have some solace in the fact that in a couple, was it 100 years or so, they when they go extreme Mormon colonists, they get eaten by them bugs from Clan Datu, from Starship Troopers.
Well, true.
One of their outposts. Yeah, so we have that to kind of look forward to.
God. Well, why not?
Hey, why not?
The one thing that does bug me is that they breed like bunnies.
Yeah.
And they do that deliberately. They have big families because they are under, you know, like I said, all this time at the right wearing, Islamo-fascism, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
You know, I wonder how good Roman Catholic Bill O'Reilly would feel to know that the Mormons have a plan to sort of overrun everybody by sheer force of numbers. They killed in the past, and if need be, they'll kill again. Because after all, Joseph Smith is the seal of the prophets.
This is, and my God, I hope, you know, they need a fire hose or something to put out these fires. I mean, I'm talking like, you know, I'm not talking literally. I'm talking like figuratively. I mean, we're sitting here looking.
Metaphysical fire hose. I know.
Metaphysical fire hose.
I don't want anybody to do these weirdos violence. That would only make it worse.
Oh, exactly. It would justify their paranoia. I mean, that'd be like the phones dying again. Then I'd be a little paranoid. But anyway. I mean, seriously. I mean, because eventually the Scientologists are already almost there. You know. Don't you people learn from cults? Oh my God, what is up with this crap? You know, the original flavor, the original recipe is bad enough. This is like the worst fast food restaurant serving the most unhealthy junk for the human consciousness I can imagine. And it's like, instead of like their failures, they just keep making more and more product. And I mean,
there's something really insidious in all of this, Albert, because consider, I mean, we do a pretty darn good job, I think, on this program of pointing out the excesses and the perversions that right-wing hate radio brings to the American body politic. Who, more than anybody else, was actively involved in screaming about Proposition 8? Outside of the churches. Talk radio. Right-wing talk radio.
Yep.
Who owns the right-wing talk radio station? Well, they own the right-wing talk radio station in Seattle. They own right-wing talk in several other markets. I read them all off.
What's that brother group that is out of, because they're evangelical, but I'm sure that they kind of, you know.
But in this instance, it's Bonneville Broadcasting. I mean, you can go to radioandrecords.com and click on Arbitron ratings or whatever, and it'll show you the ownership of stations and everything. Bonneville.
They also own Albertsons, so maybe not shop there. You know, if you,
wow, didn't know that.
I don't shop there. Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, I almost don't want to put icing on the cake anymore.
I mean, the chief operating officer and artistic director of a huge live theater group in California, the biggest live theater in California, it's in, I believe, Sacramento. He just resigned today because he was found out, you know, he's another one of these Mormons, and he was found out to have been a principal donor, or not a principal donor, but a significant donor. To the Yes on 8 campaign.
In the theater.
In the theater. A theater that receives, you know, probably federal funding.
Federal funding and probably a lot of gay actors and set workers and people that are really interested in being artistic and have embraced their own being and
costumers, lighting designers.
You know, not to be stereotypical, but
makeup,
you know,
artists,
art actors, actresses. I mean,
singers, dancers,
people that are in the audience. I mean, to sit there and imagine. I'll wager that there's probably a higher proportion, probably, and especially in the audience. You know, and I mean, all my gay friends are always going every show I wish I could go to, but, you know, they just happen to have that kind of little life path. You know, they don't have kids to worry about half the time, so they can spend their money on other things, and one of those other things is seeing theater and ballet and those kinds of culturally uplifting.
Relevant. Yes, yes,
exactly.
Yes.
And to have somebody sitting there, I mean, just look at Mitt Romney.
Strap the
real is their book.
Yeah, I know. Hey, honey, strap the dog to the top of the family truckster. We're going on vacation.
Amen.
But that's okay. They'll have the their dog is sealed in heaven, and they'll have him in the afterlife on planet Kolob.
You know, this is, I mean, honestly, this is just ridiculous. To think, I'm glad it's, I don't think this is going to stand. I really don't. And I think that, you know, like, they're just exposing themselves for what they are. And I think more and more people will be as repulsed. I mean, it's like what Rush Limbaugh tried to say. He tried to say something disgusting. Someone in the chat room mentioned it. It was so horrible, it wiped my mind. He said something in regards to, what the hell was he talking about? Something about blacks and this and that and blaming all this other junk on, I mean, there was such a disconnect from reality. I popped the fuse. I really, it just, my mind completely draws a blank on it. But these people want you to believe that, you know, snow is orange and, you know, rocks are light. I mean, they want you to believe the complete opposite of what reality is. You know, they want you to believe you're helpless and you're powerless. And I mean, they want you to sit there and think that, you know, the election was stolen. And I mean, anything that you can imagine, you know, Obama's a Muslim. You know, we have a re-education camps already. Oh, yeah, wait.
Don't tell them.
Yeah, don't tell them. I mean, to seriously sit there and imagine, and this is my whole thing. I guess this is where I come into, because it's like, I almost feel like we're looking back at them as a group of people saying, holy cow, you people are still back there? You're still on, like, the first hurdle? Just go around it. I mean, like, come on, hurry up, catch up. You know, because we're going to be around the corner by the time you guys even figure that one out. That's how I feel. They're so bass-ackwards that to just sit there and imagine that they really believe that they can convince the mass majority of people their nonsense anymore, because it's just so much more ridiculous. I mean, the same kind of lies of tax-spend liberal that really was just like the death knell. That was the nadir of John McCain's campaign. You know, as soon as he started swinging that crap out, he was done. And, you know, I understand you didn't want to be too, you know, jumping up in the air, but, I mean, come on now. That's like, oh, my God, you're just throwing haymakers up there, and you're missing bad. You know, it's a whole other class of fight. And to sit there with this desperate nonsense, I mean, it's almost scary. I don't know what's scarier, that they believe it, or I realize that there are people out there that believe this.
What would you, just out of curiosity, Albert, what would you do if you found out these weirdos had proxy baptized some forebear or relative of yours? I mean, don't these people at least need sued for this?
Well, me personally, I kind of laugh at them to think that their little crap has anything to do with anything.
Well, I do too. But isn't there something violative about that? You know, bless their hearts. These folks with the Holocaust gathering said, "No, we're not going to sue. We're just going to try to turn the court of public opinion against them." I think they ought to sue. I mean, this, if you're a relative of a Holocaust victim, this truly is the intentional infliction of emotional distress. And that is recognizable at law in virtually any court in this country.
You are 1,000,000% correct, Bob. However, this needs to just be logged. This is like gathering intelligence. Maybe not sue them for this. And maybe not sue them for Prop 8, even though they're a preacher from the pulpit. Maybe we should give them enough rope to hang themselves with. So we can eventually sit there and say, you on so many counts have been, you know, contrary to this policy and this law and this and this and this. And due to that, your tax-free citizen, your stateship is stripped and all your lands and properties and blah, blah, blah are seized and... You know, I mean, you've got to start all over kind of thing. I don't know what to say in terms of, I don't want to persecute anybody, but they're persecuting others. You know, I mean, they're this small, tiny little minority, and they're drumming up trouble. You know, hell, it's like my neighbors that I used to have. You know, I live in a very small town, and it's very white. They just happen to want to, like, drink too much, these people, and fight at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I kind of looked at them and said, you know, I don't fit in here. I am the minority here. I live in a Norwegian village, okay, and they're very, like the Norwegian mafia, they call it. And I said, I don't fit in here. And you have a strobe light on your head. Don't act like this, because you're just going to get ostracized. You're going to sit there, and I don't understand this. I don't understand how we can sit there and let little groups like this control or have their will be done. And actually, not to say it's a good thing. Hell, I mean, you know, if they want to marry five people, let them. But that's giving you more rights, not taking rights away from people. And to sit there and to, oh, my God, and how these people are Republicans, and it's always a state right issue. How big, I mean, I'm sure they're there. They're everywhere on the West Coast. How big is, and they're everywhere. Oh, my God, they're everywhere. Bob, what am I going to do? But seriously, how much of a...
Well, I mean, I'm beginning to worry about some of this, Albert, because, you know, I'm sitting here looking at a story all from, I guess, Monday? Dateline Parkersburg, West Virginia. The West Virginia Convention of Southern Baptists has passed a resolution calling for an amendment to the state constitution defining marriages between a man and a woman. And so, you know, poor little West Virginia has 200 Southern Baptist churches in it, you know. We've already got a law on the books from 2000 that defines marriage as a man and a woman. There's been no threat of it going in that direction of actually granting, you know, West Virginia is one of those states that will have to be dragged kicking and screaming into full constitutional rights for our gay population.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that thing gets any weight at all under it, the fundamentalists will push it, and then they'll go hold hands with the Roman Catholics. And you know, the Mormons will want some of that, too. And I was talking to Agnes. I was talking to Agnes the other day. I don't know. You know, I think the only rational, reasonable thing for me to do is to put a sign, put no trespassing signs up at, you know, at the entrance to the driveway, and then at beside the door, put a sign that says, you know, I don't know, maybe a pair of crossed baseball bats and no Mormons. Because otherwise, if one of those little black pants wearing, white shirt tie wearing, bicycle riding freak shows up on my porch, I'm so damn pissed off, I'm liable to go out and just get after him, and get all and you know, get all Daniel Day-Lewis on their ass.
Don't forget about the name tags.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're saying. I think what you really need to do is put those two signs up.
Well, I'm done now.
Sing it. And just start singing it and, like, go to your shed or something and get a chainsaw and film it. They'd be like, what? And you'd be just, praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Ring, 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 ring. You would see them. You would just see rooster tails flying out of the bikes.
Kicking up a rooster tail on the gravel.
I mean, they may not be able to comprehend much because of what they read, but they can most certainly read those signs. I mean, I honestly, if they do come, I gave them a bunch of crap last time that they came. I had them sitting out in front of my house for 3 hours, and you know how I can ramble. So I was just getting all
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do, didn't mean to make that noise on the air. But, yeah.
Oh, did I?
No. I made a noise. I snorted. You made me snort. I apologize.
No,
just the idea of these poor little Mormon children out there contending with the man who knows that fear is the mind killer. the man who can look at someone and say, "Welcome to Costco. I love you."
I love you. Honestly, I don't know. They remember they brought another guy back once after they came for a couple hours, and that one was a little more confrontational, but. I still didn't buy their book. They gave me a box of candy with it, but I said no. But you know, these guys, honestly, if they come back again ever, I literally may not be able to, you know, even play toy with them. You know, and I wouldn't be, I'm not going to sit there, turn around, close the door. Because I'm going to want to have to say something to them. Because I'm going to, you know, they're going to
want to. Well, see, that's the risk.
Well, they want to put a seed in me, The problem is I know more than they do about themselves. So if they're going to sit there and try to play like that, I mean, I'm going to put two in them. And seeds, not bullets, freaking whoever knows who's listening, you know.
I know.
I mean, now you know how they, you know how this crap gets. But, you know, these people literally, I cannot believe. It's, I mean, I hate to sound like this. I sound like, you know, like, but.
Well, no, I remember, you know, I remember they came to my door once upon a time, you know, well, yeah, well, hello, who are you? Gave me my name. And I'm in some damn database now, primed for later baptism.
How organized are they?
Dude, this database would blow your mind.
That's creepy.
They've got, I mean, if you want to know what your genealogy is, odds are the Mormons know it better than you do. And they probably already baptized most of your family. Oh, you should see the photograph of this baptismal font. It's this big old brass abomination with 12 oxen representing the 12 tribes of Israel holding up the baptismal font, and there's some dude whose job is to just periodically gabloop, 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 and, you know, baptizing, 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 baptizing all day long.
They have 12 golden calves?
Yeah, they kind of do.
Where the hell's Moses?
They baptized him. It don't matter anymore.
Jesus got to come down with an M60 grenade.
What did I tell you about the calves?
Exactly. It's basic fundamentals over here. I don't understand. They can't even keep their own. You know, this is like such a bad production. I mean, Battlefield Earth is better than this. This is just horrid.
Where do you think Dianetics came from? Ron Hubbard got Dianetics from the Book of Mormon. Joseph Smith got the Book of Mormon from the Quran. The Quran got the Quran from the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they got it from the ancient Chaldeans and the Ur and Eridu. And, hey, it's, you know, just one long string.
Bob, these people make Jim Jones look sane.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know.
Because he just said, screw it, there ain't no future. Everybody die. In his own way. I mean, I know it's more depth than that, but at least he didn't want to keep on the facade any longer.
I know.
These guys are, you know, I mean, and, you know, that whole money deal, that's a big part of it as well. And, you know, I wonder we should really start doing some digging in terms of who owns all this crap. You know, how much did Rush Limbaugh's contract get up to? How much was it?
Oh, it's 40. It's 40 some odd million now with this the big obscene Gulfstream 5 jet buy-in bonus.
$50 million. You know, we should find out who's paying for this. I mean, besides that, you know, but who's writing the checks? Who's signing it? Just for this kind of crap. I mean, did you find out what it was that Limbaugh was choking out of his chortled frickin' Jabba the Hutt face? He said something out unbelievably just outrageous. I don't know, Bob. I tell you what, the landslide doesn't tell me that Obama's got to go between the right center, and it doesn't tell me that the Mormons are going to win. I think these people. Now that they're out in the light, and now that we can see them, we're going to stomp them just as quick as we stomp the rest of the cretins. This is just unbelievable. These guys are sitting there trying to take away, you know, just people's rights. People's rights because of some fictional book that if we don't believe in, we go to hell. What the hell kind of religion is that? What the hell kind of way is that to behave? Yeah, I'm sure God would be real proud of that one. My God. It's just. I know. All right, buddy.
All right, I'm going to roll along. Got a bunch of lights lit up. Don't know if there's anybody there.
Amen, Bob.
All right.
See you later.
Amen, Brother Albert.
Amen. Bye.
Bye now. Oh, let's see what's happening here.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I was going to say, getting back to the Hebrew MV. You know you forgot one, didn't you?
No.
Because after you go through the baptism of the dead, you usually have your patriarchal blessing when you're maybe 12, 14 or whatever, and you get adopted into one of the lost tribes of Israel.
Do tell.
Yes.
Is there a secret decoder ring anywhere along the way, Gene?
I didn't
Certificate suitable for framing, any of the stuff that you ordinarily find in your average box of cereal or Cracker Jacks. I mean,
no, they buried that. That was called the Urim Thummim. The Urim and Thummim.
Oh, yeah. The Urim and the Thummim, finger thimble. Yeah, I'm going to put my head in this hat and read through the rocks, and you're going to write it all down.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's funny because if you go back and you look at the, I can't believe they still got it in there. Apparently there's that, they actually got a, an old Egyptian scroll back in the day. And it's actually, I don't know how they got it in possession of it, but it's on their thing is the Pearl of Great Price. Well, they still got the Egyptian scroll, so they went back to and they translated it legitimately. It turns out it's some kind of burial rite. Has nothing to do with...
It's probably part of the old Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's there, and, you know, it's weird, because, geez, when I went... I remember what they tell me when I... Because I did the baptism for the dead, and I figured, at the time I was like 13, so... I thought that was a nice, safe temple ordinance to go through, because it was either that or go get your endowments done, which is something you do before you get sealed in the temple. And it's like, I didn't want to do that because I wasn't so sure that I wanted to be, I grew up in a very, my mother was the one that had very deep questions because she was like your mother. She settled the Baptist and the Methodist and all this kind of stuff. So she had questions. And so when I was 13, we took a summer vacation and we drove out to the Utah Temple and had baptism of the dead done. And it's unfortunately, in my case, it didn't take, I don't think, because the guy mispronounced my name. Because what they'll do is you go into the changing room, and you get all dressed in white, and you'll get there, and you'll go over to the baptismal font, and they'll sit there, and they'll speed. It's like this institute auctioneer just talk these speed names off, and then they dunk you, and they'll say.
So you were the proxy.
I was the proxy.
Okay. I understand a little bit better now.
Yeah, I was the proxy. That was my one and only temple ordinance that I ever went through. Because to get into the temple, you have to tithe for a year, and you have to make sure you keep every last word of the book, or the word of wisdom, and a whole bunch of things. And, you know, it's not...
Well, when you were you made aware at any point in time, Gene, were you made aware... Of all these vast holdings and business interests? I mean, is that something that they know and we just don't and we're the rubes?
Some of them know. I mean, when you were talking about KSL, the radio or the TV station, Mormons tend to know about that one. Actually, if you go back in, what was it, 1978, there was a CBS 60 Minutes story about the Utah farmer that turned around and sued the Mormon church because he'd come up with a way of making seedless cherries or something, and it was very, very advanced, and the church managed to get on his property and lock him out of his own farm holdings and stuff and steal his machines. You remember that one?
Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah, I remember reading. Oh, my.
The Mormon church is very deep. And I know I told you this before. I haven't told you about this on the air. But, and it's legit. I promise. I knew a girl back out. Her name was Laura. And I knew her before she was married. And her last name was Cheney. And I remember going to her wedding, because they have what you You've got two different wedding ceremonies in the church. You've got the temple marriage, which is marriage for time and all eternity, where all the weird stuff goes on. And then you've got marriage for time. Well, sometimes the Mormons will do the marriage for time thing if they're marrying a non-Mormon, and then later, after a year or so, they'll go to the temple after they've converted their partner, and they'll go through the eternal marriage vow. Well, I went to the time ceremony, and if I had known then what I know now, because I swear, one of the people that I saw there, I remember this, this is back in the 80s, I swear that was Dick Cheney I saw.
No kidding.
No kidding.
You?
So it was quite, if I'd have known then what I knew now, I'd have probably been, I don't think I'd be around here.
Oh.
Well, I didn't know at the time how creepy it was. You know, because, I mean, the way they sell baptism of the dead to you is to basically tell you, well, you know, unlike other religions where they say...
Well, let me just to clear up one little point of lack of understanding on my part.
Okay.
Now, when you did that, did they read off a whole bunch of names and then they dunked you, or did they read a name, dunk you, read a name, dunk you, read a name, dunk you?
I'm thinking they read a name, dunk me, read a name, dunk me, read a name, dunk me like three or four times, if I remember correctly. But the guy is going so fast. It's like auctioneer speed as far as talking. So it's, you know, you don't really, and they have to be really precise on, this is why I think that none of the people that I was baptized for, I don't think it would count because he had the wrong middle initial for a middle name. And of course at the time I tried to tell them, but they didn't listen, so. Now I guess I'm glad they screwed up.
Mercy.
Well,
you know, the nice thing is you seem to have survived quite sanely, Gene.
Oh, yeah, but boy, it took me a long time to get out of the church. I didn't leave until I was 25. And I really tried to be a good Mormon. And that's you know, because you want to try, and I've had missionaries come back. Technically, I guess I'm still a Mormon. I'm just inactive. I had missionaries here probably about 6 months ago. I said to them, "Look, I don't hate you, but I like where I'm at now, and that's you know I like doing the UU thing." But they haven't. I haven't gone ahead and actually written and asked them to take my name off the rolls of the church.
Well, they've got another ordinance they perform for that, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got all kinds.
What is it, the ritual of shaking the dust off the shoes? That's how they curse people?
I haven't seen it done officially. I've seen it unofficially done, but not officially.
Wow. It's like having a foreign country inside your own, you know.
Well, when there was when I was back in college in Arizona, we had there was a guy that was a receptionist at the disability services place there where I went to college, and he turned out he was gay, and he was about to get married to one of the students there who had converted from who was a Muslim, and she had converted to Mormonism. And then he kind of left. And I didn't know what had happened to him. And about a year later, I was talking to this girl, and I mentioned what happened to so-and-so. And she said, well, he needs a bishop's court. And that's all she'd say. Because there's also an internal legal process. I guess
I'm telling you this outfit has more in common, and this is not me gooning on Islam. It's not,
But I really, really, I really think that Joseph Smith, while they bathed, they clothed it in some sort of proto, not really, but used the same names as Christianity. Mm-hmm. The structure comes from Islam.
Oh well, heck, there have been dozens of books written on how the Mormon temple ceremonies are derived from the Masons, because Joseph Smith was a Mason for a while.
Well, he was also a con artist. You know, he had a rap sheet before he ever found the golden plates. He had a rap sheet for running a con where he would get a credulous farmer to pay him to find gold.
Now, I'll take your word for it, because you're probably right. But of course, being a Mormon, and we never heard that. That part of that is all.
Well, see, in New York, in that time period, there was this happened during what was called the Era of Good Feelings.
Yeah.
It's back when it was one of those few times in the United States when we didn't have anything externally to occupy our minds.
And it was a revival time. I remember that part of it.
Yeah, but there was a great hysteria over the Indians are really lost members of the tribe of Israel, the lost tribes of Israel. And there's all kinds of Indian gold buried all over the place.
Funny how we do that. I mean, think about the English with the Zimbabweans and how those Zimbabwe or what the country is named after was initially thought to be an Israelite, some kind of Israeli related thing. And that's just something that I think English speaking people do. I don't know.
Well, it's because of our obsession with the Bible. Well, Gene, I really appreciate you sharing this. This is just amazing.
Well, there's one other aspect that I never really, this is so bizarre because it always gets me when the Mormons complain about socialism because, of course, they've got the church welfare program and you don't even necessarily have to be Mormon, but if you go for them and ask them for help, 9 times out of 10, they'll come in and they'll just take right over. And you know, I just heard of a case not about a month ago where they came in to a woman who was a Mormon that's kind of inactive, and you know, they said, okay, we'll help you, and they paid off that month's house payment for her and got her all set up and that kind of thing. This was in Arizona. I know a friend who, how I know about this woman is he loaned her some money so she could get by. And then she turned around and went to the church, and they paid everything off for her, and she didn't give his money back. So she's kind of peeled.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So it's if you take a real hard, close look at the Mormon Church, I'm surprised they even trust to get why they want to be accepted by the fundamentalists is beyond me, because the minute the fundamentalists really look at them, really look, they're going to say, these guys, you know, we got nothing in common.
No. And so and what it is it's like some sort of big old game of religious risk where no matter how many alliances you put together when there's 8 players, sooner or later, it's going to be down to 2, and somebody's going to break a treaty.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, this whole thing, I forget where I read it, but as far as I'm concerned, when I look at Rush Limbaugh in 1988, I think the final goal was basically to turn us into a Western version of Iran. And,
well, it is. It is. That's why I keep saying that if the fundamentalists and the Mormons ever figure out how much they actually have in common with fundamentalist Islam, we're really in a world of hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'll let you go and let you get back on the phones, but I just wanted to chime in on that.
Well, I really appreciate it. You've peeled back another layer of the onion for us. Thanks, Gene.
All right, see you later.
Okay, bye now. News Ninja Gene calling from Oregon, the man who reads the whole Internet every morning before his coffee's done. And we'll keep things rolling along, or maybe we won't. Hey, welcome to the program.
Whoa. thought I'd recognize your voice across the parking lot. Whoa. I don't know if Muslims and everybody else has got some kind of a kinky thing. They have figured out they're going to trick everybody to think they think you thought what you thought before you thought what you were thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes down to that, does it not, huh?
Yeah, well...
Do you believe or don't you? I mean, I just kind of trot along there and follow the path of Mike Malloy until you can put it in a bottle and prove it to be. I just can't go there, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't. It's, you know, all these Sarah Palins of the world that want to, hey, God, just open the door a little. Just a little crack, and I'll bust right through there. Hey, God, here I am, huh?
Yeah.
That's that.
Just plow through that door.
I'll just plow right through it, and, yep, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the guy that, you know, kind of catches one on the, you know, the fourth down or the fourth down at the third, the three-yard line, and runs into the end zone and just happens to stumble over the guy that's holding onto the ball and catches it and says, thank you, Jesus, and mom, too. You know what I mean?
And mom, too. Exactly.
And mom, too. You know, it's always, you know, second guessing everything else. And I guess that's what we're up against. Because right now, as I read the mainstream media, they're second-guessing everything that Obama is going to do once he becomes the President of the United States. And they're telling us exactly what's going to happen. But let's be honest. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know this, Bob. We voted for an honest man. An honest man from Illinois. Okay?
Yeah.
I think the last time we voted for an honest man from Illinois, we got a guy by the name of Abraham Lincoln. And guess what? He brought us out of a civil war. And you know what? We're in one, Bob. We've been in a civil war since the 1960s. We have been in a civil war. We've been fighting against our brothers, our mothers, our fathers. I mean, I hear people say, well, I can't go home on Thanksgiving because I'm a liberal. And they're all, you know, they're all right-wingers, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go home on Christmas because I'll have to, you know, sit there and be quiet and say nothing because they're all right-wingers and I'm a liberal. But, Bob, if you look at this country, you know, this United States of America, we're not anything. We're pretty much people that are confused. We're confused with religion. We're confused with politics. We're confused with what we hear every day. We go home and we try to sort it out and then we go to sleep. We get up tomorrow and we do the same thing over and over again. But Bob, you talked about it. I mean, and Malloy has too. He says, but down where he lives down there, they still call it the War of
Northern Aggression.
Aggression, yeah. But it wasn't. Guess who fired the first shots in the War of Northern Aggression? If I read my history correctly, the first shots were fired on a fort called Sumter.
Fort Sumter, South Carolina, Charleston Harbor. Yeah.
Charleston Harbor, yeah. But who fired the first shots? It wasn't the Northerns.
No, it was a battery commanded by Pierre Gustave Touton Beauregard.
Yeah, was he a Northern sympathizer?
No, that's not one of your classic Iowa names.
You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing over and over again. They have done it over and over with this propaganda, Bob. I hear it, and if you ask Linda and William, when I hear it, I kind of go a little,
sideways?
A little bit berserk.
Yeah.
Mother says, Glenda, she says, you sound just like Mike Malloy. You sound just like him. Because they just make me crazy with this stuff. They do it over and over and over again, whether it's religion or politics or whatever they throw out. It's always garbled with, with a little bit of something that maybe if you believed, if you were a true believer, then it's all right. But it's not all right what they're doing. It's not all right what they're doing with this country, with the people they're in, all of us, Bob. You.
Oh, I know, and that's what I keep trying to get across to people, Bob, is that the right wing, the religion industry, the so-called values, voters, they weren't interested in John McCain anyway. Probably 75% of them thought that if Obama got in, it would usher in the end times, because, after all, he's the Antichrist. So they weren't that worked up about McCain to begin with, but they won, and they won in Florida, Arizona, and California on these stupid bigotry issues. And I don't know if people understand, but they are the religion industry is absolutely emboldened right now, Bob.
Okay, but Bob, let me ask you, okay, can you remember back to a day when after an election, a United States senator or senators, and the House of Representatives stood and said, sit down and shut up. We're in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And do you remember the man that stood there and told that Democratic senator or representative to sit down and shut up? That was Randy the Duke Cunningham.
Yep.
And he said, you sit down and shut up. And now it's our turn. And I'm with Mike Malloy on this one. It's time for us to tell them to sit down and shut up.
That's what I've been hollering since Tuesday last.
And I will not tolerate, I just can't, any longer trying to be bipartisan. I'm a partisan, Bob. I believe in liberality. I believe in what George Washington, the founding father of our country, said. May this country be forever blessed with liberality. And I am a liberal. I believe in it. And I will fight for it. And I will tell these right wingers to sit down, shut up, and listen for a change. Take your Bible, stick it where the sun don't shine.
And shut up.
Read it. Huh?
Yeah, and shut up. Nobody's saying that you can't do it in your church. Nobody's saying you can't do it in your home. But get the hell away from normal people.
Get out of my Congress. Get out of my Senate. Get out of my White House. And go to your church and pray. Then go into your closet. Cover yourself with a basket. And pray. And maybe you will see the light, if you light a candle under a basket, hey, eventually the air will run out, Bob. And then they will just...
It may have run out years ago, and that's why they are the way they are, Bob. You never know. Hey, Bob, good talking to you, brother. I'm going to roll on, and we will talk again soon, all right?
I just had to...
Just remember, yeah, look at him. Sit down and...
Shut up.
Hear, hear, brother Bob.
Thank you, my son.
Take care.
My son, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Really, seriously. Sit dot down dot and dot shut dot up. Sit down and shut up. More information rolling through as we move toward the top of the hour, which just happened. Want to hear some fun? I just touched on the radio stations and a couple of other little companies. Deseret Management Corporation. Anytime you see Deseret, you know it's Mormon. That's what they initially wanted to name Utah, but the polygamy thing kept that from happening. Beneficial Financial Group. Yep. Bonneville International. Yep. Bonneville Communications. Yep. Bonneville Interactive Services. Bonneville Satellite. Deseret Book. Excel Entertainment. Deseret Morning News. Hawaii Reserves, Polynesian Cultural Center. That's the thing. If you go out to Hawaii, you will be up to your eyeballs in Mormons. On and on and on. Farm Management Corporation, Deseret Land and Livestock, the Deseret Ranches of Florida, Deseret Farms of California. On and on and on. And there's another list, and I've got it coming, too. I got it for you. But I just got an email in from our dear friend Robert in Japan. Hey, Bob, when I came to Japan in the 90s, I found that there were still plenty of Mormons here, as they figured that they could get most Japanese to convert and thereby get 10% of Japan's wealth. So they spent a lot of time, energy, personnel, and money to do this. But as Japanese still like to drink tea, coffee, and lots of liquor, this venture ended up a huge failure. Yeah, I just can't see the ancient Japanese tea ceremony being traded in for the new and improved Japanese milk ceremony. No. He said, it ended up a huge failure. I rarely see them now. In my second year, I had to end up working for a language school, which, to my shock, was filled with Mormons, and the owner was a Mormon. I learned that they, the Mormons, love the leader, the obedience gig, and that the leader is usually a corrupt, paranoid, grandiose personality disorder. This guy was fooling around with the secretary, who also was married and who was giving herself huge salary increases for the extra duties. The guy felt that every teacher should spend every moment thinking about his school and how to enrich himself more. My contract was a joke. 3 years without a vacation, and any book that I wrote would actually belong to the owner, etc., etc., etc. The contracts were a bone of contention as each teacher realized how they had gotten screwed. In short, Mormons are really crazy people. But, as they're working on world domination 24/7, they need to be feared. Robert in Japan. Thank you, Robert. And we're going to take a little break real quick. But here's a few more for you, just to let you know. This is a compilation of companies that are either owned or controlled by Mormons or the Mormon Church. Affiliated Computer Services, AES Corporation, Avista Corporation, American Express. What? American Express got $3.5 billion today, you say? Yes, it did. Black and Decker. Well, that's it for me. If it ain't Ryobi, and it's not, Milwaukee's, Or maybe Makita. No more Black and Decker.
Cadence Design, Corvus, Central Pacific Bank, 1-800-CONTACTS, Cygnus Incorporated, Diebold, 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 Dell Computer, Dynex, Downey Savings and Loan, Earthshell, Franklin Covey, Hillenbrand Industries, Headwaters Incorporated, we're only in the H's, Hollywood Entertainment, Host Marriott, yeah, iOmega, JP Realty, Key Corp, Knight Transportation, K-Swiss Incorporated, oh, another pair, no pair of those will ever go on my feet, La Quinta Properties, Inc., Marriott International, Micrel Semiconductor, Micro General, Merit Medical Systems, Monaco Coach, Micro Semi Corporation, Myriad Genetics, Novell. Hello, you know, computers, Novell. NPS Pharmaceuticals, Inc., New Skin, Oil States International, Oakley, the sunglasses, Oakley, remember? Priceline.com, Inc., Phelps Dodge Corporation, Ryder Systems, SkyWest Airlines, Swift Transportation, Cornerstone REIT, Tropical Sportswear, Williams Companies, Inc., and Zions Bank Corp. Wow. That's pretty creepy. And the News Ninja Gene points out that while the Japanese didn't fall for it, the Koreans did. Sad. Sad. So, just, you know, something to think about. Any one of those companies, you participate in, and you purchase anything from them, do business with them, stay under their roof, and you are contributing, even, albeit indirectly, in some of the most hateful bigotry and prejudice and anti-democratic behavior that this country has seen in a long, long time. Really. This is America's liberal voice. This is the horn. We're listener supported, and we need the support.
This is an oldie but goodie. School is a plain shame.
Oops. Disc jockey Bob. You know, once Windows Media Player misnames something, it's devilishly difficult to get it fixed. There's the one I was after, because this is relevant.
Someone drops a cup, and I We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
82. Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yeah, it's about 12 minutes past the hour on our way to the end of tonight's program. And let's just have one of these. You know, some of this stuff is just hard to avoid, and I know it annoys some of you. I don't mean to annoy anybody, but just gotta. This is one of those great moments in journalism. How can you pass it up?
Tonight, Governor Sarah Palin goes on the record, her first national television interview since the election. We are live in Anchorage, Alaska, and you're not going to see this anywhere else.
Kind of neat, though, Americans getting a look at some of the Alaskan lifestyle, though, with some of the shows that are on, the Ice Trucker show and the, what is that commercial fishing show, Todd?
Deadly's Catch.
Deadly's Catch. And some survival show in Alaska, too.
I see that potholder. That's the kind we used to make when I was a kid.
Does it remind you of back in the day?
Yeah, did you make that? You didn't make that. The kids?
The kids did, but remember we used to make these. Yes.
I haven't seen one of those in years. I bet most people even, with the little loom. With the little loom.
Isn't that neat?
I haven't seen one of these in years. That's sort of fun.
Jesus, Greta. My daughter made me one of those last week. Maybe the reason you haven't seen one of those in years, Greta Van Susteren, is because you haven't lived in the real world in years. That's journalism on Fox News. Tonight, Sarah Palin potholder update. You know she can't. Did you catch her flattening out her accent? Is that a potholder? Jiminy Christmas. That's what passes for journalism in this country. Dear Lord in heaven. Just another day in paradise. So, let's go to a couple of other things. Speaking of broadcast. You know, we've been kind of on a broadcast kick tonight, even though it's prayer meeting night. But that's okay, because we've been talking about broadcast-related issues.
So you remember I mentioned these right-wing, the miserable animals. This Quinn person, Jim Quinn, who declared, what's the difference between slavery and welfare? The slave had to work for it? Yeah. That's more of that professional broadcasting. Well, he got caught and called on it. And, co-host declared, no, it was him. Rather than say, what can he say? He's caught. But you want to talk, since we've tied in all this stuff is tied in to this sickening tide of bigotry that is flowing across this country. It's hard not to play this other clip from Jim Quinn. Take your paregoric now rather than later, okay?
Let me ask you a question. You're hanging out with some woman that you picked up in a bar, and you two are out there. Maybe you decided on the last minute to go to Las Vegas. Rent a hotel room and make a little whoopee for the weekend. What is that called?
Sex?
Does society have a strict definition for that? There's a lot of people have different definitions for it, different names for it. But I mean, is there one thing that we can all agree on? Is there a name for it?
Sex?
And no, there is no one name for it.
Sex?
Because society has no interest in it.
Sex?
But there is a name for a man and a woman who commit to each other. It's called marriage. Why does it have a name? Because we seek to define it. Why do we seek to define it? Because society has an interest in the outcome, and the outcome is the next generation of citizens in that society.
Wait. Okay, this is that. This is that argument. The only valid marriages are the marriages that produce babies. Okay, just wanted to. Because what do we call that? What do we call it? We call it having sex. And it's not society's interest. It's the codification of rights and duties under the law. For the love of God, how difficult is that to understand? But apparently, it's cripplingly difficult for this little right-wing bastard, Jim Quinn.
We'll have a proper upbringing. That's why we name things.
Oh, wait. All children of heterosexual couples have a proper upbringing. Okay, maybe I hit the pause button a little bit out of place there. So let's just back up and catch that again. I don't want anybody being misled.
Name for a man and a woman who commit to each other. It's called marriage. Why does it have a name? Because we seek to define it. Why do we seek to define it? Because society has an interest in the outcome, and the outcome is the next generation of citizens in that society, and the assurance that those citizens will have a proper upbringing.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. I'm only taking it from his words. All children raised by heterosexually married individuals have proper upbringings. And by extension, only those children have proper upbringings. There are no proper upbringings for children who live in a household that's experienced divorce. Orphans don't have proper upbringings. Okay, but what's the outcome of all of that?
That's why we name things. That's why we have words to define things. We are under no...
Gee, and I thought human language developed because some proto-humans were standing on the savannah one day and needed something besides ugh when the lion showed up on the horizon. Lion! But I'm crazy, evolutionist, liberal,
obligation to change the definition of things to include some demand from some special interest group.
Special interest group. You know, like AIG. You know about AIG. AIG got busted today. Again. In Arizona. You know, the people that we bailed out not too long back. Yeah, they were caught having a little convention at a luxury resort in Arizona. And they had cocktail parties, and they had limousines. They had dinner out at a posh restaurant. And in the course of setting this up, AIG, quote, instructed the hotel to keep its involvement secret. No signs with its name allowed. That according to ABC News. Edward Liddy is the CEO of AIG. He said there weren't any signs at the posh resort in Arizona because, quote, we are really cutting corners. We're doing the same thing the American taxpayer's doing. We are tightening our belts. We didn't use any signage. Ah, you tell me, what would be more expensive, the little signs or the limousines or the dinner at the... But, you know, again, that's me. So anyway, Jim Quinn.
Who suddenly decides that their union ought to be called a marriage to make them feel better about it and to force the rest of us to look at it as equivalent to a man and a woman having a marriage that produces something that the state has an interest in.
But Jim, you're a right-wing blowhard. Your hero's Flush Flimball. He's been married three different times and never produced nothing. And now he lives in a 24,000-square-foot mansion with a cat that would leave if it could. Oh, I don't think this one's going to work out very well for you, Jim.
The only thing that gay marriage produces, well, gay marriage doesn't produce anything that the state has an interest in. Gay sex produces AIDS, which the state doesn't have or should have an interest in. They should charge homosexuals more for their health insurance than they charge the rest of us. I mean, just like...
Enough. Gay marriage doesn't produce anything that the state has an interest in. These are right-wingers. You know, these are the people who hate taxes, remember? We want to reduce the tax burden on the Americans. Well, if there's marriage equality for gay people, they get a break by tax break by being married. You pay less as a couple than you do as a single individual. Where's all that low tax righteousness on the part of the right wing? Hear the crickets. Yeah. Cricket, bigot, yeah, fun. Maybe there's a poem out there. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it? How about that? Married heterosexual women? Did you know that you're only good for making babies for the state? How's that feel? And see, this is exactly what people on our side are talking about in terms of all of this bigoted filth, is that the way they describe it, it's even bigoted toward people who are married. Ladies, you are only a baby factory. You know, Agnes and I, and I'm not telling any tales out of school, she's talked about it on the air, a decision was made after our last child. Agnes said, I ain't doing this anymore. And so I said, well, honey, I'll do the right thing. And she said, no. And she trotted off down to the hospital, and a little bit later came out and healed up, and ain't gonna be, that mommy hotel is shut down. And according to Jim Quinn, my marriage is worthless now. Do you see how the extension goes from one group to the next? I've told you before how the right wing is hell-bent. They've moved their operations from they've spread out. They've moved their operations from the federal level where abortion and birth control are concerned.
And they've taken their operations to the states. Whether it was the stupid law that failed in South Dakota, or the stupid blast assist is a full-fledged citizen law that failed in Colorado, or Proposition 8 in California, which succeeded. These efforts are being made on the state level now. And the right-wingers hate Griswold versus Connecticut, which effectively said you can't limit or infringe on a person's right to contraception. And it's Griswold that Roe versus Wade was built on. Now, most right-wingers, and for that matter, many liberals, think that Roe versus Wade is what they're after. Hell no, they're after Griswold. Because, again, it is a matter of defining not their own conduct, but yours. And just because you're heterosexual does not, by God, mean you're safe. Jim Quinn just told you. If you're a married heterosexual couple and you aren't, and ma'am, if you're not spitting out babies as quick as your body can recover to do so, gentlemen, if you do not engage in sex with your wife with the determined intent of creating a child every time you do so, your marriage has no value. You understand now? This isn't just about gay people. And I am not diminish. I'm not meaning in saying that. I am not in any wise meaning to diminish the anguish and the hell that the gay community in California has been put through. But I can't say plainly enough, or strongly enough, or frequently enough, these people, these fundamentalists, these right-wingers, this unholy, tormented, demonic alliance between the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant fundamentalists, and the Mormons, is nothing short of a big old brassy attempt to take control of this nation. Howard Amundson pumped $900,000 into the Yes on 8 campaign in California. He also pumped millions into R.J. Rush Dooney's so-called ministry. And R.J. Rush Dooney has said that he wants, he's dead now, luckily, but he said that he wanted to overturn the government of the United States, destroy the Constitution, and set up an Old Testament theocracy all over this nation. Any questions? Heterosexuals, you have a dog in this fight. Women, you have a dog in this fight. Men, you have a dog in this fight. Absent sexuality. Because if you let these theocratic bastards, these religion industry thugs, into one segment of society's life, they will, by God, sooner or later, come after you or come after your progeny. They will come after someone you love. Imagine that. Couples who married, loved each other, and chose not to have children. The Roman Catholic Church says that's wrong, that not having children, unless there's some physical reason that you can't, that that's wrong. The Mormon Church says that's wrong, and the fundamentalists say that's wrong. No matter which weird sect it is, which cult. They all agree that you, Mr. and Mrs. Couple Without Children, are in violation of God's law. The right wing's having an unmitigated hissy fit about the Employee Free Choice Act right now. And even though they're a religious organization, you know, I can show you over at the right wing news site that's owned by the American Family Association. You know, this the crowd that gave you the story about Tyson homosexual, that bunch. Looking down their headlines just today. And there it is. A mention of the Employee Free Choice Act. And mention of offshore drilling. Oh yeah, they're into all of this. It has nothing to do with spirituality. It has nothing to do with the articles or tenets of their faith. But they are, by God, the shock troops in the culture war. And they're working for the America that their God tells them they must create. And yet, at the same time, people who are threatened by that theocracy went to the polls in California and voted to take away other human beings' rights. I just wonder. I mean, I don't want to take away anybody's euphoria over the victory that Obama had last week. Not at all. But everything didn't get well when that happened. The problems weren't fixed. Some liberals, some progressives are noting what they nervously term a rightward shift in the people that the Obama Association is associating itself with. Meanwhile, the right wing is screaming, you got to be a center-right governor. Yeah, you got to govern from the center-right there. Hell, if he governed from the far-right, they'd still hate his guts. And we said, yes, we can, and yes, we did a little bit, but not enough. And if you rest on your laurels and you think, wow, you know, this craziness in California, this is going to be fixed by the courts. They don't care. It can be fixed by the courts. It was fixed by the courts the last time. That didn't slow the Mormons and the Roman Catholics and the fundamentalists from all over this country from meddling in the political affairs of the state of California. A court's declaration means nothing to these people, because if you sit them down and start talking to them, they'll start telling you, well, you know, we answer to God's law. Which is shorthand for saying, we're going to have our way or no way. Our way or the highway. God, I hope folks understand this. Is that you do understand that if the court rules on Proposition 8 and marriage equality is protected in California, you understand the fundies aren't going to go away. They'll be back with another proposition. They frankly don't care if they stir up a damn shooting war in California, because they've got all the guns. There's the latest statistic. From November the 3rd to the 9th, the FBI reported they received over 370,000 requests for background checks on gun buyers. 49% increase since last year. We talked about this last night. this year alone on its multi-million dollar effort to get people to buy guns, the National Rifle Association, which is funded not necessarily on its members' dues, but rather by huge infusions of cash from Sturm, Ruger, and Smith & Wesson, Winchester, Colt, those folks, Taurus. The National Rifle Association is going to spend $40 million this year encouraging people to go out and buy more guns. 15 million of that 40, nearly 50%, is going to be devoted to one purpose and one purpose only. Or has been, rather. This is the 2008 campaign. I'm a little ahead of myself, or behind. They spent $15 million portraying Barack Obama as a gun-grabbing liberal. I'm looking at a photograph right now of a sign from Wild West Guns, Custom Gunsmiths. Underneath, they've used the display letters to put up the message, "Huge Obama Gun Sale." These people don't want to own guns because they want to defend their constitutional rights, these right-wing freaks, these bigots. They want to own guns because ultimately they want to shoot you, liberal. They want to shoot you, lesbian. They want to shoot you, gay man. They want to shoot you, tolerant heterosexual. And when they've ethnically cleansed the country, then, according to the tenets of Christian Reconstructionism and R.J. Rush Dooney, then they'll purge the Constitution of the United States, and they'll institute things like stoning for violations of biblical offenses. I wish I was kidding. I wish I could feel even remotely paranoid or delusional about this. But it's backed up by facts. Don't take my word for it. Do your own work. Go read up on R.J. Rush Dooney. Read up on Howard Amundson. Read up on the Mormon Church. Cult. Read up. Read up. Read up. On Christian Reconstructionism. Read up on the conspiracy that was entered into as early as 1997 between the Roman Catholic Church in California and the Mormon Church in anticipation of this very issue. These right-wing hate groups, these right-wing theocrats, they want a war. I don't want a war. You want a war? Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. No, hell, I want to sit down and understand them. I'm an American just like them. Oh, wait, not to them. I'm not. I'm a liberal. Yeah, really. And, you know, don't get all worked up thinking that we've got the market cornered on this. Because we don't. No, it's all over the world. And fundamentalism is fundamentalism is fundamentalism is fundamentalism. No matter where. Granted, it's up in our faces here, but that doesn't change the fact that it's present in the rest of the world. You know, Franklin Graham announced the other day that his father, Billy, would be praying for Barack Obama, but would no longer be the pastor to presidents. And so, what does the right wing have to say about it? What does the religion industry have to say about it? Headline! Pastor to presidents replaced by gay bishop! Yeah, this is another one of those little screeds that come from Peter LaBarbara out in Illinois. He's the president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And he says that Billy Graham is being replaced by that gay bishop from New Hampshire. Looks like Billy Graham's been replaced by a gay bishop. We're moving to perhaps our first anti-Christian president. It is beyond post-Christian. Gene Robinson advocates homosexuality as part of the Christian experience. Now Bible-believing Christians cannot accept that. Homosexual practice is sinful, as taught by the Scriptures. This man pretends to be faithful to Christianity, even as he works very hard to undermine it. Peter LaBarbara, piece of human waste. But like I said, it's not limited entirely just to the United States. Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, they're convening a little meeting at the UN this week. Mm-hmm. Really are. And it's going to be a dialogue with world leaders about religious tolerance. Doesn't that sound so sweet? Religious tolerance. And it's always the most hateful religions that are so intolerant of anyone else's that most want others to tolerate them. This story from the International Herald Tribune. Saudi Arabia, which deploys a special police force to ensure that only one narrow sect of Islam predominates in the kingdom, is sponsoring a discussion at the United Nations on religious tolerance starting today. More than a dozen world leaders are expected to attend, including a dim leader, Great Britain's Gordon Brown, King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, making what the International Herald Trib calls a rare appearance. The two-day session of the General Assembly is being billed as a meeting on the, quote, culture of peace, because the UN does not sponsor religious discussions. But that's okay. The fundamentalists will subvert that, too. Ali al-Ahmed, who is a Shia Muslim dissident from Saudi Arabia, who lives in Washington, D.C., says, it's like apartheid South Africa having a conference at the UN on racial harmony. Because the purpose of all of this is for the Wahhabists, who have managed thus far to keep the royal house of Ibn Saud, to keep their heads attached to their shoulders via their necks, by virtue of the religious clampdown that exists in Saudi Arabia. Well, they're going to have a little, they're hosting the meeting, and they're going to make sure and tell the world that their special little religion has a special little place, and that nobody can say anything mean about it, because you have to tolerate us. Because we're the most, one of the most intolerant sects on planet Earth. But you have to tolerate us. In Saudi Arabia, we run schools where the little primers that teach little Saudi children how to read have references in them to dirty Jews. But we want you to tolerate that. And don't draw any cartoons about our prophet! Now, granted, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon invited both King Abdullah and Shimon Peres to dinner last night. Haven't seen any outcome from it. Don't know that I expect any. UN Secretary General Ban said, "The purpose of the meeting itself is to promote mutual understanding and to address all differences of opinion, either political or religious." Now, see, Secretary Ban, maybe you don't get it. Theocrats and fundamentalists, whatever the stripe, while demanding tolerance for themselves, are utterly intolerant of anyone else. You can't point out the conflicts, the internal conflicts, the self-conflicts within any of these sects' sick little belief systems. Because if you do, they will shoot you, chop you, stab you, cut you, hack you, murder you, rape your children, your family, and your dog, and then complain that you were intolerant of them. The Mormons did it in Illinois. They did it in Missouri, they did it in Utah, and most recently they have done, they've done it in California. They're being protested now, and they're saying, well, we just participated in the democratic process, and you're being intolerant of us. When the whole heart and soul of everything that they did was intolerance in paradigmatic form. Same thing for Wahhabist Islam. I'm not going to tar Islam with a broad brush, but Wahhabist Islam is pure, unmitigated poison. It was pure, unmitigated poison when T.E. Lawrence wrote about it and ran into it almost 100 years ago. Wahhabist Islam says, don't draw any cartoons about our prophet, or we'll burn your city down. Tolerate us. Screw them. Screw them all. And of course, you know, I don't know. I hope that I'm just. If I'm doing anything, I hope I'm lighting one candle in a fundamentalist darkness. If I'm doing that, that's enough. Not by any objective measurement, but by the standards that I establish for myself. Were there no microphone here, I would be talking to trees, I would be talking to grass, I would be talking to rocks, I would be talking to strangers on the street, in the post office, the gas station, in the grocery store, about what was done in California with Proposition Hate. Because I must meet the minimum standards that I set for myself. Not for you. Not for anyone else. But for myself. Because to fail to do so, well, to look the other way when bigotry and prejudice is on the march is actually worse than being one of the prejudicial bigots marching. They live in their hate They are doused in their own blood. They feast on their own ignorance. But knowing what they do, to turn away from it and say, well, it's not my fight, that makes me worse than them. It is my fight. And while I won't tell you what to do or how to do it or suggest, I will suggest that it is your fight too. I remember the words, and I learned them not from the source, but I remember the words of one of America's first and most successful third-party presidential candidates, Eugene V. Debs. And I learned it, again, reading Kurt Vonnegut, because Debs was one of Vonnegut's heroes. In 1920, from a jail cell in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, Eugene V. Debs ran for the presidency of the United States. He said, among other things, the working class who fight all the battles, the working class who make the supreme sacrifices, the working class who freely shed their blood and furnish the corpses, have never yet had a voice in either declaring war or making peace. It is the ruling class that invariably do both. He understood that. But most importantly, Eugene V. Debs said, while there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free. How can you look at what the bigots and the theocrats did in California and not hear those words echoing inside your own brain? While there is a lower class, I am in it. While there is a criminal element, I am of it. While there is a soul in prison, I am not free. It didn't mean he was a criminal. It meant that he stood with the people who were defined by the other side in that fashion. But I don't have to explain that to you. I don't have to be gay to understand that the right-wing religion industry in this unholy alliance is trying to inject something into this country that we have worked and so many have fought and, yea, verily, so many have died to eliminate from our society. If all marriage in California is not valid, then that is what threatens and invalidates mine in West Virginia. Because if they can do this to one sector of society, they can do it to Agnes and me too. And as long as I have the light, can operate by my own lights, I will stand. And I will be of that class that is put upon by a brutish majority. And I'm proud and honored by everyone who chooses to so stand as well. It's about 5 minutes before the hour. I don't know if this is a call coming in, or we'll find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have a wrong number.
Oh, okay.
Who am I talking to?
You're on the air with Bob Kincaid.
Oh, hi, Mr. Kincaid. I'm sorry. I've hit a wrong number.
Okay, no worries. Have a great night.
Enjoy your program. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that's the program. I hate to do this, but I must remind you, let you know, that October was tough and November was tougher, is tougher, proving tougher. And we are struggling to stay on the air. And I hope if you are already, if you are not already one of those who stands with us to keep this going, this dialogue, this discussion, that you will become one who does. There's a button for PayPal at headonradionetwork.com. The mailing address is 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB, which stands for Personal Mailbox, 318, Beckley, West Virginia, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. Like I said, I'll talk to the trees, I'll talk to the rocks, I'll talk to anybody, anything, to make sure that these overtly fascist, theocratic thugs do not take this nation away. But most of all, I want to continue talking to you. Thank you to John Fox, to Peter Godbold, to Ben Birch. Thank you to Coal River Mountain Watch, who partially sponsors all the programs on the Horn, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org, the bravest, hardest-working people I know. Condolences go out to our dear friend Guy James. He will be back next week. He is attending the funeral of a dear family member in Ohio. I'm sure your thoughts go to him as well. He'll be back this coming Tuesday. Hope you'll join us tomorrow evening. Mark Levine will be live at 5 Eastern, and I'll follow an hour later. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Have overlooked that GM outsold Toyota by about 1.2 million vehicles in the U.S. and Ford outsold 50,000 and Nissan by 1.2 million in the world's number one automaker, beating Toyota.
So
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Yes, it is the Guy James Show, coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida. Naples, Fort Myers area. Just telling somebody what a nice day it is here. It's sunny and about 79 degrees. Very, very nice. Very nice. Just responding to a... Did you ever start something important like a radio show, for example, and forget to turn your cell phone off? Or have you ever been in a place where you just shouldn't have the cell phone on and it rings and you look at everybody and go, oh, hello, excuse me. All right. We've got that taken care of, I think anyway. Had a strange call earlier. Somebody called the show, and the show wasn't on, and they acted like it was. It's very odd. Maybe somebody's got a great sense of ESP. They could tell ahead of time. What was that movie I saw here a while back with some guy in it, some actor who could tell, Nicolas Cage, I think it was, could tell what was going to happen in the future? I don't know. Hey, apologies to everybody yesterday who mentioned about the audio volume yesterday. We tinkered and all that sort of thing, and I think we have it where it needs to be today. At least ELO says so, and if she says so, that means it's okay, right? That because as ELO goes, so goes the Head On Radio Network. Can't do it without her. Hey, I hear it's... spitting icy rain up north in a few places, and I'm sorry for that. I never liked that kind of thing. Never minded snow. Always kind of liked the snow, but it was that cold rain and sleet and the gray skies that always did me in the winter. And it's odd when you live in Florida, as I have now for, what, a dozen years, I guess. It's odd how you begin to take the weather for granted, and you really do. You don't really think much about it. I was just saying in jest to one of my cyber friends that you don't talk about the weather to each other here. We never, hardly ever mention the weather to each other unless it's really, really cold or if a hurricane's coming. We talk about that if that happens, but really, we don't talk about the weather. We don't look at the weather forecast at night. I don't know hardly anyone who ever watches the weather forecast because we know what it's going to be pretty much. And so there aren't very many surprises. And so I guess we're all nasty people because, as I mentioned to my friend, the only time that we ever talk about the weather is when we talk to our friends up north. And tell them how nice it is here. And I remember that. I remember when I still lived in Ohio, people would call on Christmas Day, or friends and relatives would call from Florida or California and say, oh, yes, we've got the air conditioning on, we've got the windows open, it's such a nice day. And meanwhile, we were knee-deep in snow or sleet or something, you know. So I remember that, and I'll try and refrain from that. I don't mean it in a nasty way when I tell you that, but... Anyway, not a whole lot going on today. Another one of those days where most of the news is primarily economic. We have the Illinois governor situation thing still going on, but nothing really percolating there. We did hear late last night that Rahm Emanuel supposedly has been taped a few times talking to the Blagojevich people. I don't know. We'll see what comes of that. We will see what comes from that. Would I be surprised if Emanuel had talked to them? No. Wouldn't it be highly unusual if he had not talked to them? Now, it would be unusual, and it would be illegal if he talked to them, offering them deals of any kind. But I think Rahm Emanuel is a lot smarter than that. And knowing what the circumstances were with the governor of Illinois, I seriously doubt whether Rahm Emanuel will stick his foot in a trap like that. He's much smarter than that. I do see that OPEC, in their meeting, has cut production by 2.2 million barrels a day. And even after that announcement, the price of oil dropped. Isn't that unusual? But a 2.2 million barrel a day cut is a very significant cut. And they have promised that, if that isn't effective, and they didn't say if that isn't effective in driving the price up. They just said if that isn't effective to obtain their objective, and we all know what their objective is. If that isn't effective, they'll turn the tap a little tighter the next time. This is the largest one-day cut ever. And it goes without saying that their objective here is to raise the price of oil, and they will raise the price of oil. Now, the question that I have, and probably the main question they have, is how high can they raise it without damaging themselves? And they won't damage themselves in the long run because they have something we want. They have something we need. We have something that we will pay for if we have the money. And therein lies the question. Will we have the money to pay the prices that they want for oil? Not necessarily what they need, but what they want. You know, they got fat and happy on that $143, $147 a barrel, whatever it was. And they would like to continue on. They most certainly would like to continue on with it over $100 a barrel. That means fattening their war chest considerably. And I don't necessarily mean war chest, but filling up their coffers, you know what I mean. So they got used to that money, and they were spending a lot of money buying up business and property and banks all over the world, and they like the power that comes with that. And they want to continue enjoying that power and money, and so they're going to do what they can to drive the price back up again, despite the fact that the need for oil has dropped lately. So we shall see. And the economy has done that. The price of gasoline, I would think, by now would have raised it back up some. Our usage, our demand. I know people who are driving more now that gas is down to, here it's $1.69 a gallon, even less in other places, a little more some others. So that's lightened up, but here we are in a very, we're in a tough spot right now. We have deflation going on. And isn't it wonderful to go to the gas pump and get gas for $1.59, $1.69 a gallon when we were paying 4.25 for it not so terribly long ago. And it's a relief not to have to pay $50, $60, $70 to fill your gas tank. It's a big relief. However, and once again, other prices have been dropping. You can go into many, many department stores, name stores, and find things at 50% off. I mean, here we are in the peak of shopping, when retailers normally make a ton of money, and they usually have their prices up, not last year, not this year, but usually they keep their prices steady until after Christmas and make their profit. And here they are offering 50, 60, 70% off. One of the major clothing stores here, major clothing store, a men's clothing store, and it's a chain, offering 50% off all day long today. All day long. 50% off everything in the store. It's not one of those deals where they went and marked everything up. 50% off on every item in the store. I mean, that's incredible this time of year. Joseph A. Banks, men's clothing store. I don't know if you have them where you live. They're an East Coast company, and we have quite a few in Florida, and they're all up and down the East Coast, quite a few places around the country. Great men's clothing. A bit on the expensive side, but half price today, all day. So there are big sales going on, and this is causing prices to go down. Last month, 1.7%, which is the largest price decrease since I believe I remember the year 1946. I don't really remember that year, but I think that was the year that had the largest deflation before now. 1.7%, which is a huge drop. And you might say, well, that's great. Prices are going down. That's a wonderful thing. We consumers are going to benefit from that. Well, in the short term, yes. In the very short term. But eventually, when the stores don't make any profits, then they lay people off. And people that are laid off don't have any money to buy products, and you get the idea. Deflation is not a good thing. It's just as bad as runaway inflation. Yes, bedtime for Bonzo indeed. Go Bucks, OH. Yes. private joke, folks, if you're not on the chat room. If you're not on the chat room, you are missing out. And you can get on that chat room by heading on over to headonradionetwork.com. We hope you will. An idea of how things are going. A new casino, a casino here in the area where I live in Immokalee, Florida, primarily known for its produce production. They grow millions of pounds of tomatoes and cucumbers and I don't know what all over there. It's not too far from here. As the crow flies, if I could drive straight to it, it'd take about 20 minutes. But it's one of the garden spots of Florida. And they have an Indian casino there. It's the Mississippi Indian Tribe. They have a casino, and they're building on. They're adding some jobs, and they're making it a real casino now. Before, it just had those, I always called them the El Cheapo slots that weren't really slot machines, and they didn't have blackjack, and they didn't have roulette and all that, but now they're adding that on. So they're going to add a bunch of jobs. And so they had a job fair yesterday, very close by here. And today and yesterday, they're expecting 2,000 people. 2,000 people to apply for these jobs. And these jobs aren't really great paying jobs. They're competitive for the area. And they do have benefits, full benefits. 2,000 jobs. Applications. People were lining up at 5:30.